Today, warning, market volatility squared ahead as black swans land. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. As expected, this was a volatile week as questions over AI tech, tariffs, and inflation all converged to stoke significant volatility across the trading days. Monday saw big falls thanks to DeepSeek emerging with potentially a different economic approach to AI delivery. The Fed held rates during the week, while the ECB and Canada cut their benchmark rates. And late on Friday, President Donald Trump said that he would indeed place 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico and 10% tariffs on goods from China, effective on Sunday. And those on imports from the European Union would follow. Trump said that while the new tariffs might cause some disruption short term, he was not concerned about the reaction in markets. And he also said that there was nothing that Canada, Mexico, nor China could do to forestall his plans. Starting tomorrow, those tariffs will be in place, White House spokesperson Ms. Livett told reporters. These are promises made and promises kept by the president. Trump did, however, reference a potential carve-out for oil from Canada, saying that rate would be 10% versus the 25% planned for other goods from the US northern neighbor. And he indicated wider tariffs on oil and natural gas would be coming in the middle of February, remarks that sent oil prices higher. The rationale for tariffs is a mixture of trade economics and brute power to force action on migration into the US and measures to stop illicit drug imports. Some Wall Street analysts said the potential tariffs appeared to be being used more as a negotiating tactic, but Trump brushed away the notion that his threat for levies have been a bargaining tool. No, it's not. We have big trade deficits with, as you know, all three of them. And more tariffs are indeed on the way. The Republican president said import tariffs were being considered on European goods as well as on steel, aluminium and copper, and on drugs and semiconductors. We're going to be putting tariffs on steel and aluminium and ultimately copper. Copper, though, will take a little longer, he said. Automakers would be particularly hard hit by higher costs through tariffs on vehicles assembled in Canada and Mexico. Their vast regional supply chain, where components can cross borders several times before final assembly, would further exacerbate these costs. Trump's move is expected to draw retaliatory tariffs, potentially disrupting more than $2.1 trillion in annual two-way US trade with the three trading partners, but could well turn into a wider trade war, in which the end households will ultimately pay. China firmly opposes Trump's new duties, a spokesperson for Beijing's embassy in Washington said, adding, there is no winner in a trade war or tariff war which serves the interests of neither side nor the world. Barclays strategists estimate that the tariffs could lead to a 2.8% drag on the S&P 500 company earnings, including the projected fallout from retaliatory measures from the targeted countries. The potential to drive up consumer prices is a particularly sensitive area for investors who are worried about a revival in inflation causing the Federal Reserve to stop cutting interest rates. The US Central Bank this week paused its rate cutting cycle while Fed Chair Jerome Powell said officials were waiting to see what policies were enacted with the new president. Financial markets have been whipsawed by the rapid fire, but still not fully clear developments on Trump's tariff plans, with currency trading showing particular volatility. The MSCI Global Index was down 0.42% on Friday, though still higher over the past month, while the European Stoxx 600 was actually up 0.13% and 5.65% higher from 1st of January in peak territory. The S&P 500 ended the session down 0.5%, erasing an earlier advance, which was close to 1%, and the Nasdaq Composite was down 0.3%, having risen more than 1% earlier on. The Dow fell 0.8% on Friday. the S&P 500 is actually only down 0.5% on the week, and the Nasdaq was off 1.3%, which is hardly disastrous given the nervousness on Monday that a much more severe correction was perhaps on the cards. Indeed, the equal weight Nasdaq is in the green, but the VIX, or fear gauge, was up more than 10% across the week. China's DeepSeek last week launched a free assistant that it said used less data at a fraction of the cost of US models. Within days, it had become the most downloaded app in Apple. The sudden emergence of DeepSeek, a low-cost Chinese artificial intelligence disruptor, onto the world stage this week, sent shockwaves through the fast-growing AI investment landscape, triggering a trillion-dollar sell-off in former sector darling Nvidia in the process. But will the advent of DeepSeek's latest open-source platform named R1 prove a turning point in the global race to develop AI, or simply a buying opportunity given the oversized market reaction? Meantime, the US Commerce Department said it's looking into whether DeepSeek has been using US chips that are not allowed to be shipped to China, or using open-source AI routines from US companies outside their terms of use. Who knows? Among this week's biggest casualties, though, was the US chipmaker Nvidia, which was struck by a $600 million sell-down on Monday after DeepSeek's claim that its R1 model was developed for just $5.6 million, roughly 1% of the budget used to train OpenAI's ChatGPT. The cheaper price tag, as well as the lower computing power reportedly needed to train the R1 model, fanned concerns that demand for Nvidia's chips could be undercut. Nvidia was down more than 50% across the week and was down 3.67% on Friday. Shares in Microsoft fell sharply on Thursday after the firm's results, down 6.5% across the week, while shares in Tesla were down slightly across the week after positive earnings reports. And Meta rose in the wake of their earnings, up 6.44% across the week. Apple shares were under pressure in volatile after-hours trading on Thursday after that company announced its latest results, and it fell 0.67% on Friday. While the mood music across the markets is pretty upbeat, especially bearing in mind how discordant it was after the DeepSeek fueled turmoil on Monday, the exceptional mix of factors that have helped US equities markedly outperform the rest of the world for more than a decade is perhaps near a peak. That's according to Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett. US exceptionalism is now exceptionally expensive, exceptionally well owned. Outperformance to peak in 2025 as excess government spend ends, immigration reduced, and DeepSeek means peak in AI capex return. Expectations is in the note. The tailwinds that have propelled this exceptionalism, economic growth, immigration, and tech spending are poised to fade, and a new inflation threat was approaching. And in economic news, latest US prices increased in December while consumer spending surged. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index rose 0.3% last month after an unrevised 0.1% gain in November, according to the Commerce Department. In the 12 months through to December, the PCI Price Index advanced 2.6% after rising 2.4% in November. This means that US inflation increased by the most in 8 months in December, amid robust consumer spending on goods and services, suggesting the Federal Reserve would probably be in no hurry at all to resume cutting interest rates anytime soon. Moreover, the annual increase in the so-called core inflation has not slowed since October, meaning the disinflation program has stalled in the fourth quarter. The Employment Cost Index, the ECI, which is the broadest measure of labor cost, gained 0.9% in the fourth quarter after rising 0.8% in the third quarter. In fact, labour costs climbed 3.8% in the 12 months through to December, the slowest since the third quarter of 2021, after increasing 3.9% in the year through to September. Personal income increased 0.4% after gaining 0.3% in November. With spending outpacing income, the savings rate fell to a two-year low of 3.8% from 4.1% in November. And the US 10-year rose 0.44% on Friday to 4.541, while the two-year was down a little to 4.205, suggesting higher for longer is indeed a thing. Gold hit an intraday all-day high of 2,800.99 in spot trading earlier as investors adjusted their positions ahead of US President Trump's decision on whether to slap those 25% levies on Canada and Mexican imports. Gold futures for April delivery was down 0.42% though to 2,835 a troy ounce, while crude oil for delivery in March hit $70.53 a barrel, while the April Brent oil contract traded at $76.50 a barrel. For the week, Brent fell 2.42%, while WTI declined 2.85%. The Euro-US dollar was last at 103.59, while the US dollar Japanese yen rose 0.59% to 155.20, and the US dollar's futures index was up 0.61% to 108.41. European stock markets edged higher on Friday, with investors digesting more corporate earnings as well as regional inflation data after the ECB's latest easing of monetary policy. The pan-European Stock 600 closed up 0.13% as technology sectoral gains were at 1.7%. Industrial technology group Hexagon provided the tech sector with the biggest boost. It gained 8.9% after posting a surprise rise in fourth quarter operating profit. Computer chip equipment maker ASML also rose 2.3%, sustaining gains after its robust earnings report on Wednesday. And healthcare added 0.4% with Novartis at 1.9% after the company posted quarterly adjusted net income that exceeded expectations following strong sales of its heart failure and multiple sclerosis drugs. Elsewhere, Electrolux warned of the impact of uncertainty in the North American market in the event of US tariffs in the previous session, and it sank to the bottom of the Stock 600 index. On the data front, inflation fell in five important German states in January, suggesting the national inflation rate could decline, further evidence of the difficulties the German economy, the largest in the European zone, is suffering. And it came in the release of the latest retail sales data, which showed a fall of 1.6% on the month in December. The DAX index in Germany and the CAC 40 in France, though, were both slightly higher on Friday, while the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.31%, touching again new highs. Sentiment was boosted by the decision of the ECB to cut interest rates on Thursday, driven by arguments that the biggest inflation surge in a generation is nearly defeated and that the flagging economy needed relief, as widely expected. And also they kept the door open for further policy easing amid concerns over lackluster economic growth. It was the fifth ECB rate cut since June, and markets expect as many as three more reductions this year. Their statement highlighted the ECB's continued data-dependent approach to setting monetary policy, not signalling anything beyond the very near term. Germany's 10-year bond yield was down to 2.459% following the cut lower. In fact, European equities are at all-time highs in absolute terms, and Bank of America questions whether this outperformance can continue going forward. We expect both extremes to fade with softening global growth momentum in line with our economist projections, putting downward pressure on European equities outright, but a cyclical improvement in euro area growth momentum relative to pessimistic expectations are helping European equities to build on their recent outperformance from subdued levels, analysts at Bank of America said in a note at the end of January. We see scope for continued support for European relative to global equities over the coming months on the back of a further improvement in the euro area's relative PMI momentum, helped by easing credit conditions, a more supportive inventory cycle, and a reduced fiscal drag, they added. In Asia, regional trading volumes were muted on account of market holidays in China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan for the Lunar New Year. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose slightly, while the TOPIX index was flat as consumer price index data from Tokyo rose as expected to a near two-year high in January, heralding a similar increase in nationwide inflation. Higher inflation ties further into the Bank of Japan's notion of a virtuous cycle, driving up economic growth and inflation, giving the central bank more headroom to raise interest rates further. Of course, the central bank hiked rates by 25 basis points last week. Other readings on the Japanese economy showed industrial production unexpectedly rising in December, while retail sales grew more than expected. South Korea's KOSPI, which resumed after the Lunar New Year holiday, slumped 1.3% on losses in major chip-making and tech stocks, which caught up with severe declines in their global peers this week. NVIDIA Corporation's memory chip supplier SK Hynix Inc. slid as much as 11%, while peer Samsung Electronics shed 2.6%. Citi analysts said they were cautiously positive on Asian equities with an improving outlook for economic growth, offset by the prospect of trade and policy risks from US President Donald Trump. Citi said it was targeting a 10% upside in regional equities by the end of 2025. The investment bank said that it saw competing forces on the macroeconomic front, with resilient global economic growth and low interest rates likely to support earnings, but Trump-related risks, which include tariffs, higher yields, and strength in the dollar, will remain a headwind for Asia. But Citi analysts said that they were neutral on China, citing the potential of Beijing to dole out even more stimulus to support local markets. China will likely bear the biggest brunt of tariffs, and the path to reaching a détente on US-China tariff escalation looks more difficult. Monetary and fiscal policies will stay supportive, but Beijing's policy stance will likely be more reactive than proactive, Citi analysts said in a note. China's top financial market regulator said on Saturday that stabilizing the market, stabilizing confidence, and stabilizing expectations were priorities as the government worked to provide better access to capital for leading technology. Wu Qing, who took over as the head of China's Securities Regulatory Commission a year ago when China's stock markets were sliding, said regulators had been working to restore confidence since late September when Beijing rolled out a series of stimulus measures. These measures, Wu said, support President Xi Jinping's goal of making China a financial power and creating capital market funding opportunities for companies with innovative technology. In today's world, finance is a battleground for the greater powers. These remarks were published in the official policy publication of the Chinese Communist Party. At the close in India, the Nifty 50 rose 1.22% on Friday, while the Indian VIX was down 7.03% to 1617. The Australian share market notched up its second record high of the week on Friday, capping the exchange's best month since July. The ASX 200 closed 0.5% higher at 8,532.3, its largest weekly gain in 5 weeks. The index rose 4.6% over the whole of January. Miners rose early in the session after US President Donald Trump reiterated plans to impose the 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico soon Saturday, but remained vague on China, which they regarded as welcome news for Australia's largest trading partner. Mining heavyweight BHP climbed 1.2% to $39.95. Mining stocks were further buoyed by gold prices, which rose to a record high, with Newmont leaping 3.8% to $69.20 and De Grey Mining 3.3% to $2.01, and Bellevue Gold 3.7% higher to $1.25. A positive first few hours of trade for Nasdaq futures did help spur a rally for ASX technology stocks on Friday afternoon. On the ASX, Zero rose 2.5% to $183.27, and Technology One added 1.6% to $30.94. In real estate, index heavyweight Goodman Group lifted 1.4% to $30.45, rebounding from a sell-off earlier in the week, sparked by concerns that Chinese artificial intelligence competitor DeepSeek threatened demand for Goodman's data center holdings. Origin Energy weighed on the utility sector, though, tumbling 6.7% to $10.45 after the company trimmed its production outlook for Australia Pacific liquefied natural gas in financial year 25. PointsBet tumbled 12.8% to 86 cents after the betting company revised down its financial year guidance, citing worse than expected quarterly performance. And finally, McGannon Financial Group tumbled more than 7.6% to $10.51, extending losses from the previous session after the exit of its veteran infrastructure boss, Gerald Stack. Home designer Simmons Group shares rose by a third to 20 cents on Friday after the company agreed to pay $10 million to buy Melbourne-based Dennis Family Homes. Banks all pushed higher, with CBA at $160.56, NAB at $40.14, ANZ at $30.62, and Westpac at $33.73 on expectations of RBA rate cuts coming soon. Although, as we discussed, it's perhaps not such a done deal as many are calling it. And in crypto, Bitcoin has been moving around the 100,000 US mark and was last at 101,820, while Ethereum was at 3,241.60. President Donald Trump signed an executive order relating to cryptocurrencies. The US can now be one step closer to the creation of a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Some countries already hold Bitcoin, mainly from seizures linked to illegal activities. And it's also likely that some governments are actually buying Bitcoin without officially including them in their reserves or disclosing those acquisitions. As the first country to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender, El Salvador is the most remarkable example of Bitcoin's integration into national reserves, where it now accounts for 10% of the country's assets. In the United States, the Bitcoin debate is also taking center stage. President Donald Trump is calling for the creation of a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Legislators such as Senator Cynthia Lummis have proposed acquiring 200,000 Bitcoins a year for 5 years, and she's just been appointed chair of the Senate Banking Subcommittee on Digital Assets. The Senator wants to urgently pass legislation for a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Should this proposal come to pass, the US would hold almost 5% of the total supply of Bitcoin, capped at 21 million. This project envisages financing those acquisitions by selling part of the gold reserves and using Federal Reserve profits. However, the Federal Reserve remains reluctant, with Chairman Jerome Powell stating that the Fed was not looking to change its position on holding. Indeed, the Federal Reserve Act limits the assets held by the Fed to those offering liquidity, stability, and low risk, which would exclude Bitcoin for the time being. Thus, any formal adoption would require a legislative agreement. It's worth noting, though, that 11 states, including Florida, Wyoming, and Massachusetts, have already introduced bills to include Bitcoin in their national reserves. Similarly, in Switzerland, the Swiss National Bank is considering adding Bitcoin to its reserves alongside gold. The committee behind the proposal, entitled For a Financially Strong, Sovereign, and Responsible Switzerland Bitcoin Initiative, has 18 months to gather the 100,000 signatures required to bring a public vote. On the other hand, the European Union remains cautious about integrating Bitcoin in its financial strategies as the ECB focuses on the development of the digital euro. Bitcoin's potential role in European reserves remains highly contested. The ECB has criticized Bitcoin for its volatility and lack of intrinsic value. In a recent report, the ECB described it as a speculative asset that fuels division in society, highlighting how early adopters have profited at the expense of later adopters. Former German Finance Minister Christian Lindner urged the ECB and the Bundesbank to consider Bitcoin as a reserve asset, warning that Europe cannot afford to stay behind in the global cryptocurrency debate. A rumor suggests that the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are potentially accumulating Bitcoin in anticipation of President Trump's proposed Bitcoin reserves. Brazilian Congressman Eros Baroni introduced a bill in November proposing a strategic sovereign Bitcoin reserve. The initiative suggests allocating up to 5% of Brazil's reserves to Bitcoin, which would translate to $18.6 billion of potential investment. And Russia, amid sanctions and economic pressures, is considering Bitcoin as an alternative reserve asset. In December 2024, President Vladimir Putin praised Bitcoin as a viable substitute for traditional reserves, stating, "Who can prohibit it? No one." Russian lawmakers are currently evaluating the feasibility of a strategic Bitcoin reserve to diversify state holdings. And China's stance on Bitcoin remains ambivalent. While the country enforces strict controls on private cryptocurrency use, speculation surrounds its accumulation of Bitcoin reserves. In Hong Kong, Wu Jingheng, a legislative council member, advocated for Bitcoin integration into financial reserves, citing the potential global implication of the US Bitcoin strategy. So all up, Bitcoin's adoption as a reserve asset by a powerful country could actually trigger a domino effect, prompting other countries to follow suit, but the path is as yet far from certain. And more broadly, and as expected, markets will remain highly volatile, with global trade norms potentially getting reset and inflation still bubbling along below the surface. Just remember that markets remain in overvalued territory, and DeepSeek is an object lesson in how black swan events can emerge unheralded. Frankly, expect a wedge of black swans in the weeks ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.